What an incredible opportunity and an immense blessing to bring God's word to you this month. I once again would like to thank Pastor Colin Smith for inviting me to be a part of the pulpit supply to your church. Also, I would like to thank you all for having me and my wife here and all five Sunday mornings. And you really welcomed us into your church, and you have been listening to the word of God earnestly. So thank you so much. Our sincere thanks to Brian, John, and others who took efforts to bring us the furniture from Irvin's condo to our place. Now, whoever comes to our house, they say, our house looks beautiful. So the credit goes to this church, and we could not have done this by ourselves, I think, without Brian's help and church's help. So thank you so much. Your love for God's word, your love for the gospel, your love for God's servants like me and my wife, and your love for fellow believers in this church, and your service show that your church is a gospel church. So our prayer and desire is that your church would continue to be a gospel church, continue to be a gospel fountain of life, a beacon of light as found in the Bible. So we have come to the last characteristic of the gospel church, that is partnering in gospel advancement. Partnering in gospel advancement. Before going to this, I would like to do a recap of what we have looked so far in this sermon series. Our program director at Trinity, Tetz, and our good friend and our mentor often says, iteration is our best friend. And I believe that. That's why I do every week. Okay, so this is what we have looked so far. And this is again a sermon series, right? So if you have been following the sermon series closely, you would have known that we are looking at the characteristics of the gospel church from Paul's letter to the Philippians. So far, we have looked at three characteristics of the gospel church. The first one is holding true to the gospel, and the second one is living in a manner worthy of the gospel, and the third one is striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and today is partnering in gospel advancement. In the first characteristic of the gospel church, that is holding true to the gospel, we looked at three foundational questions. What is the gospel? Why should we hold true to the gospel? And how should we hold true to the gospel? Christ Jesus has made us his own, and he has begun a good work in us. Salvation is from the Lord, and this is the gospel. Why should we hold true to the gospel? We should hold true to the gospel because we should not be carried away by the distorted view of the gospel, not carried away by all the false gospels that are available right now everywhere. Third question, how should we hold true to the gospel? We should hold true to the gospel by knowing Christ, by pursuing Christ, by pressing on. In the second characteristic of the gospel church, that is living in a manner worthy of the gospel, we looked at how to live in two different contexts, within the church and then outside the church, and we did that for two Sundays. We looked at the importance of unity, humility, and self-giving within the church context. And we looked at shining as lights in the world with the outside the church. Shining as lights in the world outside the church, holding fast to the word of God. Last Sunday, we looked at the third characteristic of the gospel church, that is striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. We looked briefly at what does it mean to strive, that is to contend
and quickly move to answering two questions. Why do we need to strive side by side for the faith of the gospel? And how do we strive side by side for the faith of the gospel? To the first question, we observed four compelling reasons. Reason number one, suffering is God's gracious gift. Reason number two, suffering is a sign of our salvation. Reason number three, suffering leads to evangelization of unbelievers. And reason number four, suffering leads to empowerment of believers. And to the second question, we learned the importance of standing firm in one spirit with one mind and the importance of standing up to our opponents without fear. In short, the gospel church holds true to the gospel. The gospel church lives in a manner worthy of the gospel within the church context and outside the church. The gospel church strives together side by side for the faith of the gospel. Finally, the gospel church partners in gospel advancement. To this we turn now. Here is our plan for today. First, we are going to look at what does partnering in gospel advancement look like. And then second, I'm going to give you an opportunity to partner with us in gospel advancement in India. This might sound like self-serving, but I consider this as a God moment because in the first place, I did not choose this sermon series for this purpose. I was captivated by the word gospel in Paul's letter to the Philippians, and that has led me to come up with this sermon series, and therefore today we look at this characteristic, which is partnering in gospel advancement. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Philippians. Paul talks about partnership in the gospel in the bookends of the letter to the Philippians. In chapter 1, verse 5, and in chapter 4, verse 15. As you know, Philippians has four chapters. Chapter 1, verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Chapter 4, verse 15. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Partnership also refers to participation or fellowship. The word partnership or participation or fellowship means the act of sharing in the activities of the church. The act of sharing in the activities of the church. It is a group action. While the act of sharing in the activities of the church include sharing various roles and responsibilities on Sunday worship, here in this context, partnership or participation or fellowship refers to the activities of both Paul and the Philippians. You see here the group action. It is between Paul, Apostle Paul, missionary Paul, and the church that gathered in Philippi in promoting the work of the gospel. Partnership refers to the activities of Paul and the Philippians in gospel advancement. What does partnering in gospel advancement look like? That's our first question. What does partnering in gospel advancement look like? Here is my summary. Partnership in gospel advancement or gospel partnership starts with the realization of God's grace, continues with activities such as thanksgiving and praying, giving and receiving, and ends with giving God the glory. Let me repeat it. Partnering in gospel advancement or gospel partnership starts with the realization of God's grace, continues with the activities such as thanksgiving, praying, giving and receiving, and ends with giving God the glory. Let's look at each of this briefly. First, partnering in gospel advancement starts with the realization of God's grace. Chapter 1, verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. Partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. I want you to pay attention to the phrase, partakers with me of grace. The starting point is not the needs of Apostle Paul, the missionary, or the needs of the believers in Philippi, or the needs of BIEM ministries or pastors like Davis or Billow or Eddie or Whittle. The partnership doesn't start with the needs of the people. Rather, it starts with grace, realization of grace. The starting point is the grace of God. Genuine partnership begins with the realization of God's grace. I think Paul is reminding them about God's grace that is found in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. Justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, you all, the Philippians, and I have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But by his grace alone, we are justified, made right with God through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross, through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is foundational for gospel partnership. Only those who are justified by his grace can become gospel partners. Only those who have the realization of God's grace in their everyday lives can become gospel partners. Only they can do the activities such as thanksgiving, praying, giving, and receiving. And their activities will be fruitful and will glorify God. I think Paul is also reminding them about God's grace that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, that much rich he was. Though he was rich, yet for your sake and my sake, he became poor, so that by his poverty, we might become rich. This is grace. Do you see grace here? Can you imagine the creator of this whole world, the creator of every person in this world, the owner of everything, giving up everything, taking the form of a man, coming to this broken yet beautiful world, becoming poor, born to a Virgin Mary, and to a blue-collar worker, born in a manger, living a simple life, dying for you and me on the cross for all our sake,
so that by all these we will become rich, rich in His grace. Let me pause here for a moment and ask this question. Do you have the assurance that you are justified? You are made right with God? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior who became poor for your sake? We are all sinners, and we cannot be made right with God through our own works. Only through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we can be justified, made right with God. And this is, again, God's gracious gift to us. All you have to do is to turn to Him in faith and repentance. Partnership in gospel advancement starts with the realization of God's grace. Second, partnering in gospel advancement continues with activities such as thanksgiving and praying, giving and receiving. It is interesting to note this, actually. Paul brings thanksgiving and praying together and giving and receiving together. Let's briefly look at each activity. First, thanksgiving and praying. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul first expresses his gratitude. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. When we realize God's grace in our lives, we will overflow with gratitude. This is what's happening here. And that is why Paul gives thanks to God. Paul realizes God's grace in his life and in the lives of the Philippians, and so he expresses his gratitude. Another reason we notice here is long-term partnership. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It's a long-term partnership. Paul planted this church between AD 49 to 52 during his second missionary journey. After 8 years, about AD 60, Paul writes this letter while in prison, probably in Rome. So the partnership continued for 8 years. This is a long-term partnership. And so he expresses his gratitude. One more reason. Paul holds this church in his heart. There is a personal connection. As I had mentioned in a couple of weeks ago, Paul loves this church, and this would have been his go-to church. In verse 7, he writes, I hold you in my heart. And in chapter 4, verse 1, he writes, my brothers whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown. So he had some personal connection. It was not only started with grace, it also continued with long-term partnership, and also Paul and others could connect in a personal way. There is a realization of God's grace in their lives, there exists a long-term partnership, and there is a personal connection. All these reasons helped Paul to give thanks to God. Thanksgiving and praying. Philippians 1, 3 to 4, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. See, here we notice thanksgiving and praying at the same time. The more you realize God's grace in others, the more you would give thanks to God. And the more you give thanks to God for others, the more you would pray for them. Thanksgiving leads to praying. Not just praying,
praying always and praying with joy. I could see that today, actually, when John mentioned about that the church is praying for us, and he said it will be there. So I was so excited to know that this is because we realize God's grace in us as well as in our lives, and we give thanks to God, and we want to pray, and that's why our name is here. That's what happened between Paul and the Philippians. Not just praying always and praying with joy. Paul's prayer for Philippians is one of a kind. Actually, I pray this prayer to myself and to others, whomever God brings to my life. Philippians chapter 1, 9 through 11. And it is my prayer that your love for God, love for God's word, love for the gospel, love for others may abound more and more, may increase with knowledge and all discernment. Not just knowledge. The word discernment here means practical application of that knowledge. Not only you would grow in knowledge, but you would also grow in the discernment, practical application of that knowledge. So that you, church in Philippi, may approve what is excellent. This is not about making any decisions whether this is right or wrong. Christians, we have to approve what is excellent, what is honorable, what is praiseworthy, what is noble, what is lovely. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. This is Paul's prayer to the church in Philippi. Excellent prayer, excellent prayer. If we understand the importance of grace in our life, and if we give thanks to God for others, immediately we kneel down and pray that their love for God will increase, their love for the gospel will increase, their love for the people of God will increase, and they'll be able to make excellent decisions, and they will be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. First, thanksgiving and praying. Second, giving and receiving. We notice thanksgiving and praying in the front end of the bookends of Paul's letter to the Philippians. It comes in the first chapter. We see giving and receiving in the back end of the bookends. This clearly indicates that prayer is the key for gospel partnership. He talks about grace first and then prayer next, and then moves to giving and receiving. I think this is how we need to see gospel partnership. We need to start with grace, realizing God's grace in us as well as in others. And then we continue to give thanks to God for them. And then we pray for them. Then comes sharing the resources. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Giving and receiving. The Philippians sent their gift, their support to Paul, Apostle Paul, missionary, church planter Paul, through Epaphroditus. One of the reasons for Paul to write this letter is to thank the Philippians for their generous gift. We read about this in the following verses where Paul writes, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, and you see such gift as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. The writer of the Hebrews says it this way in chapter 13, verses 15 through 16. Through him, that is through Christ, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. As you do this Sunday after Sunday, coming together, as we worship, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. When we come together to worship and we confess and we acknowledge His name, we worship, and this is a pleasing sacrifice acceptable to God. In the same way, when we consider the needs of others and share what we have with them, such sacrifices are pleasing to God. In the Old Testament, we see the pattern of giving tithes, that is 1/10 of our earnings. When it comes to the New Testament, we don't see much about tithing, but it does talk about giving. In the Gospels, we see Jesus appreciating the widow's offering. Do you know why? She, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. That's why Jesus appreciated. And Paul appreciates the churches in Macedonia, which includes the church in Philippi. Do you know the reason? For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. Here we see Jesus appreciating the giving of the widow, and here we see Paul appreciating the giving of Macedonian churches. You may wonder, what will happen to us if we share everything we have with others? If you think of sharing with others as a church, you may ask, how we will maintain this church, this building? We need to maintain this building. We need to pay for the pastor, right? And if you think of sharing your resources as an individual, you may ask how God will take care of your needs. We have to be anxious and worried only if Paul just talked about giving. We have all reasons to be anxious and to be worried only if Paul just talked about giving. Paul talks about receiving also. Verse 17, Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul writes, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Isn't it amazing? Not that I seek the gift from you, I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Paul is not after receiving something from the Philippians. Rather, he is after the fruit that increases to their account. And also, Paul is confident that God will supply every need of the givers according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To the Corinthians, Paul writes, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. See, I never knew this verse that it is here, and it is here even in my sermon. So it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. You will be enriched in every way so that you'll be generous in every way. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. Do you see the connection here? Grace, thanksgiving, prayer that leads to giving and that leads to receiving. You should be encouraged by this fact that giving leads to receiving, but this should never become a motivator for your giving. God's grace should become a motivator for your partnership. Not, okay, when I give, God will return that to me and it will add me, add to my account. No, that should not be the motivator. Let's move on to the third part. Partnership is gospel advancement, or gospel partnership starts with, partnering in gospel advancement starts with the realization of God's grace, continues with activities such as thanksgiving and praying, giving and receiving, and ends with giving God the glory. Paul ends his letter with this verse, verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul makes this very clear. As God's grace is foundational to gospel partnership, activities such as thanksgiving and praying, activities such as giving and receiving should result in just giving God the glory. Whatever we do, whether it is thanksgiving or praying, whether it is giving or receiving, we should do it all for the glory of God. So far we have looked at what does partnering in gospel advancement look like. So, as I said, it starts with the realization of God's grace, and then it continues with activities such as giving thanks to God and praying, as well as giving and receiving, and ends with giving glory to the giving God the glory. Now, in a short time, I'm going to give you an opportunity to partner with us in gospel advancement in India. India is one of the most unreached countries in the world. George said it is one of the biggest democratic countries in the world. Statistics say that of all the large areas of the world, India has the lowest percentage of Christians. Sadly, not all who claim to be Christians are Christ followers. One of the reasons for this staggering reality is lack of word-centered, gospel-centered churches in India where Christ is preached. Another reason is inadequately trained pastors, prepared pastors in India, which results in the congregations and churches not understanding how to apply the Bible in their everyday lives. So there is a need for more theologically trained workers to join in what he is doing in India. Esther, my wife, and I were missionaries in India for 16 years. Actually, we are from South India, and we moved up to North India as cross-cultural missionaries. Here in the US, if you move from Illinois to Wisconsin, you don't have to learn another language. But in India, if you move from one state to another state, particularly from south to north, you need to learn another language. So it is cross-cultural. So my wife and I were missionaries in India before we came to the US, to Trinity, to do our doctoral education. And while we are at Trinity, we had been praying for some good ministry models to connect with and to learn from for our future ministry in India. And somehow God connected us with the Orchard Evangelical Free Church. That was one of God's surprises for us. So the Orchard model of planting transformational churches, actually they are going to plant their seventh church, I think probably this month or next month, they are planning to plant their seventh church. So this Orchard model of planting transformational churches and training gospel leaders, see, leaders like me, I've been trained by them. It was very inspiring. And we like the idea of the local church, which is committed to the preaching of God's word and the training of the leaders. We saw the impact it had on us as well as on several others. You will hear from Luke next month and you will see how it impacted him. We immediately plunged into the training programs. Actually, this training has brought us to your church. So when the Lord is preparing us at the seminary as well as with the Orchard Church, the Lord connected us with the leaders of Evangelical Free Church of America, EFCA's missionary organization, which is Reach Global. So Reach Global is the mission arm of the EFCA churches. So they have sent about 600 missionaries to 60 different countries, including India. And when they came to know that, after our completion of this doctoral program, we are planning to go back to India, they invited us to join their team in South Asia to especially work in India and in neighboring countries. And this was a big surprise to us again. We never thought of connecting with an organization here, but since we already worked in India and we have a commitment to go back to India, and they offered this role as South Asia Church Planting Catalyst, and we really surprised by that, and we prayed about it, and when we felt that God is leading us to do that, we decided, okay, let's do that. So we want to see churches multiplied and church planters and pastors rightly handling the word of God in India. So as people hear God's word in our churches, they will live out the gospel. Okay, that is our desire. Okay, so as you heard the characteristics of the gospel church, this is the church, this type of church we want to plant in India by ourselves first, and also we want to see this church of this type of churches multiplied in India. We are prayerfully looking for churches and people who decide to make kingdom impact in India, who want to be partners with us in gospel advancement in India. As the church in Philippi partnered with the Apostle Paul, the missionary, we are looking for some churches, and we are also looking for some individuals who would, as we heard, realizing God's grace in their lives and understanding the importance of activities such as thanksgiving, praying, giving, and receiving. So far, by God's grace, we have reached about 80% of our monthly support. Praise God. So our goal is to reach 100% by October 1st of this year, which is less than 32 days. Okay. So we have brought our prayer cards with us, and we have brought plenty of prayer cards. And if the Lord is leading you to become our prayer partners or our financial partners, please get in touch with us. Also, let us know if you have any questions. We would love to connect with you and share more of our stories with you and hear more of yours too. Because of lack of time, I couldn't talk in detail, but whatever I shared, if you have any questions, please let us know. So this is what we have learned today. Gospel advancement or gospel partnership starts with the realization of God's grace and continues with activities such as giving thanks to God, praying, giving, and receiving, and ends with giving God the glory. We do all this to the glory of God. And this is what we have learned through this month sermon series, the characteristic characteristics of the gospel church from Paul's letter to the Philippians. The gospel church holds true to the gospel. The gospel church lives in a manner worthy of the gospel within the church and outside the church. And the gospel church strives side by side for the faith of the gospel. Finally, the gospel church partners in gospel advancement. To our God, our Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen.